Okay, this is Matthew Glanfield for the BBO Traffic Series. This is call number 9. We're going to be discussing viral marketing. Viral marketing, I'll explain what that is. You probably heard the term before. You probably have a pretty good idea of what it is. If you don't worry. I will be discussing that as if you've never heard of it before, because there's some fundamental ideas that really work with viral marketing. And viral marketing is not really, most people have the wrong idea of viral marketing. Let me just put it that way. Mainly because we're so subjugated to all the different internet marketing things out there that we think that that must be viral marketing. Well, there are viral marketing aspects and elements in what we see in the internet marketing niche, but the true viral marketing is wonderful when it comes to your business. It can grow it so quickly, and it can get the word out, and it requires, if you do it right, very little work on your end because it works on its own. So let's talk about what viral marketing means. And it comes from the idea of a virus, which is obviously not a positive thing to think of, but we're going to talk about how we can compare this to a real virus and the elements that make a virus very spreadable. In other words, a good virus will eventually spread itself to as many different people as possible. A bad virus won't. It'll go to a couple people and then it'll die off because it doesn't have the chance. So what would make a virus spread? Because if we can look at the elements of what makes a good virus good, in a sense of, you know, it spreads and it infects a lot of people, we can actually compare that to a lot of the elements of viral marketing, and because it comes through the same idea. And what viral marketing isn't necessarily is word of mouth. A lot of people say viral marketing equals word of mouth. Word of mouth is a large aspect of viral marketing. If you can get a good word of mouth campaign going, where people are just telling other people, telling their friends and their family and coworkers and everybody else about your product or your service or your website without you having to do anything, then yes, you are achieving viral marketing. But for the most part, especially if you're in the business-to-business kind of niche, people aren't going to talk to their family and friends about this. But so you need to have other ways to do viral marketing as well. And word of mouth is a part of that, but it's not everything. So just remember that word of mouth is not viral marketing. It is one form of viral marketing. But viral marketing encompasses a lot more than just simply word of mouth marketing. So let's compare this to a real virus. There's three main components that a real virus needs, and you should write these down because we're going to compare them directly to different marketing campaigns. I'm going to give you examples of some of the top viral marketing campaigns, and although you might not achieve their stature, you can at least use the same ideas. And some of these campaigns, of course, made billions of dollars, and some of them multi-millions. And you don't have to necessarily have a successful viral marketing campaign and make millions of dollars. Like, that'd be great. But a successful viral marketing campaign can do a lot less than that and still be considered very successful. If we can compare it to, instead of making billions of dollars, if you made $500,000 from a viral marketing campaign, would you consider that successful? Well, obviously. So it's not always the same scale as some of the examples I will be giving, but the same elements will be there. So there's three main things that make a virus a good virus, a really good virus. And those three things are injection, the host, and how easy it is to spread. Those are the three things: the injection, the host, and how easy it is to spread. Let's compare a couple different kinds of viruses. We'll compare the common cold. That's a virus of some sort. And we'll compare that to maybe something like, at the risk of sounding maybe a bit controversial, something like a sexually transmitted disease. So we compare those two things. So we look at the cold. We look at injection, the host, and how easy it is to spread. So all viruses need a host. That's just the way they work. That's what makes them a virus. They need a host. If they don't have a host, they die. They need something to feed off of, in a sense. But first off, they need to be injected into that host. If you have a host and you keep them in quarantine, away from everything, it will never, ever get a virus. If it's in true quarantine, it will never receive a virus. A computer that you never, if we actually compare this to computer viruses, if you have a computer that you never hook up to the internet and you never put a CD in it and you never put any disks and you only use what's on the computer, it's pretty much easy, I could say without any risk of being wrong, that it's impossible for it to get a virus because it's excluded, it's quarantined, nothing has access to it. Okay, so a virus needs a host that is accessible. and it needs to be injected into that host. Now, the method of injection can be whatever it happens to be. It could be airborne, could be by touch, could be through more difficult methods. If we compare a virus like the cold virus can be spread many different ways. It can be spread by the air, like somebody coughs or sneezes, germs go all over the place, and that shoots out the virus everywhere, and other people can then pick it up. But if there's a person with a cold, and they're in a room with nobody else, and they cough, and they sneeze, and they blow their nose, and they leave dirty Kleenexes everywhere, but nobody ever comes into that room, then that virus will not spread. So obviously, it requires the hosts, the different various hosts. So we need these injections into these hosts. And then it needs to be easy to spread. If we can, like I said, if we compare those two, a cold is easy to spread. It spreads through the air, it spreads through touch, it spreads through lots of different things. Whereas if you look at STDs, for example, sexually transmitted diseases, they only have one way to spread. And maybe sometimes through the blood as well. But how often does that happen between people just walking down the street? If somebody walking down the street could cough and boom, person beside them could get infected with the cold virus because it's really easy to spread. So those are the three things. We need a host, we need the injection of the virus, and then it needs to be easy to spread. So how does that relate to viral marketing? Well, hopefully you can see some comparisons. What are the hosts of the virus? Well, the hosts would be your customers and your visitors. And that might sound a bit seditious because, you know, we're going to inject our customers with this virus, but really the virus is just a desire to spread whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's through word of mouth or through other means. And so the host is your customers. The injection method would be however you start it. Because obviously, if you have a great website and it has this viral marketing campaign set up on it so that it's going to be really easy to spread, but nobody ever comes to that first, it's not going to go anywhere. So we need to have an injection of traffic. And you could do that. You can go out and just get some AdWords traffic, or you can do a lot of the work yourself, do article marketing, use any of the methods that we've already talked about to get that initial injection of traffic. Or if you have a list, you send an email to your list, and that gives that initial injection. And then the third element, of course, it needs to be easy to spread. So the easier it is for people to tell other people about your product or whatever it is that you're trying to spread around, obviously, the better it will do. Now, it is spread by your customers. So it is, in a sense, word of mouth, but it's not completely. Word of mouth is where, you know, you go and tell a family member, a friend. But sometimes it's just a matter of, for example, let's say you have an affiliate program. You want to give them all the tools necessary. And for example, you want to give them a blog review for your product. So they can take that blog review and they can put it on their blog. And what does that do? Does that necessarily have that? Is that them telling all their friends and family? Not necessarily. What it'll do is it'll get their customers first off looking at your product. But it will also help search engine rankings because now there's links to your products. So now Google will send you more traffic. So it's more than just a simple word of mouth. It's the fact that everybody else is spreading around your product for you. And in order for that to work properly, it needs to be easy to do. But it doesn't always work from the host itself. Somebody carrying a virus does not always knowingly realize that they're spreading it around. And I want to give you an example of a very famous viral marketing example that was kind of like that. It was the host, the customers, they didn't really realize they're spreading it around. And some of them might have realized it, but they weren't the ones doing it personally, at least not directly. Then I'm going to give you another example of something that's very similar, but it was very purposeful that the people carrying that virus tried to spread it around. And other people who didn't have the virus heard about it and did all they could to go and get that virus. So I'll give you those two examples right now. Those two examples are Hotmail and Gmail. Now, you've probably heard of Hotmail before, and you've probably heard of Gmail. They're both free email web hosting services. Hotmail came out years ago. I remember when I was in high school. This is going back at least a decade, even more, when Hotmail, before it was even owned by Microsoft, first came out. At that point, free email hosting was not very common. In fact, I don't even know if it existed. Maybe Yahoo did it as well at that point. I'm not quite sure. But in order to have email addresses, you had them paid through your local ISP, or you went onto another website and you paid for an email address, or you had to do a lot of work to get an email address. Well, Hotmail comes out and they're offering something that is new and unique. They're offering free email addresses. But here's the great thing. So who's their target audience? Who do they really want to spread this virus around to? They want to spread it around to other people who use the internet. Well, most people who use the internet have an email address, even back then. through, you know, if their local ISP was Kojiko, that's one we have around here, then their email address would be something at kojiko.ca or kojiko.com. But with Hotmail, they could go in and they could just create a free email address. Now, here's the great thing. When somebody started using that Hotmail address and sent out a free email to one of their friends who didn't have a Hotmail address, at the very bottom of that email that they would send would be a little advertisement. Very not intrusive whatsoever, like a one-liner, get your own free email account by clicking here. And so the customer, the visitor, the person using Hotmail, wasn't really knowingly spreading it around. They were sending out emails just like how they would use the service naturally. And everybody who received emails from Hotmail users would all of a sudden have this little email or have this little advertisement at the bottom saying, get your own free email hosting account or email account. Click here. Or whatever it would happen to say at that point. I'm sure they've tested out different variations of the words. And so all of a sudden, Hotmail started growing by leaps and bounds because it was something that was unique and it was spreading itself. And so that was incredible. How quickly Hotmail spread. It spread so quickly that it got the attention of Microsoft and was completely bought out by them, and is still being used by them to this day, and became kind of a principal center for all their online activities. They came up with MSN stuff, but it all centered originally around Hotmail. So that's one example of a viral campaign. Now you might be thinking, well, I don't really have something that unique, a new service that nobody's ever heard of before. It doesn't need to be, because then later on, Gmail comes out. And Gmail is Google's version of free email, a free email account. Now, here's the thing. Free email accounts are very common by this point. And Gmail's not that old. Yahoo and Hotmail and, oh, every website offered free email accounts by this point. So anybody could get a free email account. So why would they want to use Gmail? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, because Gmail was owned by Google, which was a company of good reputation, and that it could use their search features, and it claimed to have superior spam protection, which everybody claimed to have. So what was unique about Gmail that really made people want to use it as opposed to everything else? At the time, there really wasn't much to make it stand out. But here is what they did, and I thought this was brilliant. They only opened it to a certain number of people. I can't remember how many. I tried to do a bit of research to find out, and I just couldn't find it. But they only allowed a certain number of people to open up a Gmail account. And then they closed it down. And they said, well, it's in beta. Well, technically, it's still in beta, but back then they're like, no, it's in beta, so we're only going to allow a certain number of people to use it. And so that's what they did. And then here's the twist, though. Here's what really made it viral. Gmail then allowed the users who opened an account with them a certain number of invites. I believe it was 50. They were allowed to invite 50 people to use Gmail as well. Well, what did that do? First off, it created exclusivity. You might be wondering, but we want to grow as much as we can, so why would we limit the number? It's because then everybody started talking about it. Actually, on eBay, you could go on there and you could actually find people auctioning off Gmail invites. You go into the major marketing forums or just any forum, and people were posting, hey, does anybody have an extra Gmail invite they can give me? Or, hey, I've got 20 extra invites. Who wants them? Private message me. So they were going out and telling everybody else about Gmail. And spreading the word about how great it was because and how exclusive it was, and you had to get a certain invite from you had to get an invite from somebody in order to even register a Gmail account. And so the hosts of the virus actually themselves would go out and spread the virus, and then people would hear about it, but this virus was exclusive. Not everybody could catch this virus. So everybody would all of a sudden want this virus because it had certain advantages of things that it would allow them to do. And another thing that Gmail had that Hotmail didn't have at that point was a greater capacity. It could allow more emails. And, of course, Hotmail and Yahoo followed suit pretty quickly. But still, Gmail was not extremely unique compared to Hotmail, and yet it spread and grew like crazy because they created an exclusivity to it, and you could only join by referral only, to the point where everybody started talking about it everywhere because they wanted to get a Gmail account. So everybody started discussing it. And so they spread the word themselves. And it became a very well self-advertised program. So those are two examples that cover both sides of viral marketing. One of them is where the host or the customer is not aware so much, maybe aware, but not really doing what they think is work in spreading the service. And the other one where the customer and the host are actually trying to spread the virus. And in both cases, it created a lot of success. Okay, so you have to remember that. And a true virus will use other people's resources to do this. Okay, if a cold virus could only spread from the original host, so we infect John with a cold virus, and then John goes out and he can infect everybody, but people that he infect can't infect other people, then it's still not going to really spread. It's not going to be very viral because it's limited and it's not using other people's resources. It's only using John to go around and infect the entire world rather than letting John affect 10 people. And then those 10 people infect 100 people because it's 10 each, and then 10 more each, which is 1,000, then 10,000, then 100,000, then 1,000,000. And before you know it, everybody's got it. Everybody's got the virus. Or at least it's saturated to the point where most people have it. And so that is true viralness. That's what I like to call the epitome of viral marketing on the internet, where these things just spread like crazy. And then you have other examples, like when YouTube came out or those kind of services. And we'll be talking about some ideas like that for you of things that you can do. Now, I'm going to warn you right now, viral marketing requires creativity. Sure, there's some things I can teach you right here, and you can just kind of use them systematically, and they will help boost your traffic. But if you really, truly want to tap into the potential of viral marketing, you need to be creative. You need to brainstorm and think, what can I do? How can I use these methods? How can I come up with my own methods? How can I read into methods I've already learned and turn them into viral things? So I'm going to talk about, first off, some of the methods we've already discussed in the past eight calls and our past eight traffic methods, and how you can turn some of them viral, or how some of them are already viral. Then I'm going to give you a couple of new methods so that you can just go out and start a viral campaign of your own. And then from there on, now that you know what viral marketing is, it'll be up to you to kind of look at different methods that you are taught in the future and think, how can I make these viral? What can I do to make them perpetuate themselves and have my customers be my vehicle of getting more traffic, even if I'm not in the internet marketing niche? Because we'll talk about that soon. How do I get it so that when somebody buys my ebook, or when somebody signs up for my on my squeeze page, or when somebody views my video or reads my article, that it just has this natural inclination to be spread around? And so we'll talk about that now. Okay. So let's go into a few ideas here. I'm going to start off a little backwards. I'm going to start off in the internet marketing niche. And so this is assuming that you are in the internet marketing niche. I just want to cover this and get this out of the way, because a lot of people are in the internet marketing niche. And so this will apply to you. If you're not in the internet marketing niche, this is a little harder to use, but it should still give you the idea of what I'm trying to do here. In the internet marketing niche, we have a slight advantage when it comes to viral marketing, but that advantage is also our disadvantage. And that advantage is that our customers can become our affiliates quite easily. If somebody buys a health ebook, if they buy an ebook on health and fitness, the chances that they have a list of people that they can turn around and promote this to is very slim. They might have some close family and some friends that they can tell about, but really their sphere of influence will not be huge. Whereas in the internet marketing niche, especially when you're teaching people things like affiliate marketing, internet marketing, those people that you're teaching can easily become your affiliates because that's what they're going to do. So they most likely do have a list of people, or even if it's small, or they are currently working on building a list, so they'll soon be a potential affiliate for you. So here's how you use that to your advantage. I'm going to give you an example of something that I did. About almost 2 years ago now, I guess it would be, I started a site that I commonly refer to, and that's affiliatemarketingformula.com. It has evolved from a simple ebook to a full-fledged free 27-day course, where I actually put a lot of time into creating the 27-day course on how to make money through affiliate marketing. There's an upsell to get videos to go along with the 27-day course. But overall, it's a 27-day course and then an upsell for $67 to the videos. So here's what I did. I'm teaching people affiliate marketing, so I thought, well, why not have them become my affiliates, or as many as I can? Obviously, not all of them will become my affiliates. Not even all of them will take action, so there will be a certain percentage that will. So here's how I did it. First off, here's how I positioned the free 27-day course. I said, why am I giving this to you for free? For a couple reasons. One, because I want testimonials. I want case studies so that I can use that in my higher-level training. And two, because I want to become your partner, and I want you to become my partner. So I actually told them when they were signing up for the free course that I was getting them to, I was giving it to them for free because I wanted them to promote it. And I wanted them to become my partner. I was very open about that. And then once they were inside the members area, once they had purchased, or sorry, once they had signed up for free, I tried to get them to upsell, but even if they didn't, either way, when they landed in the members area, the very first thing that they see is, welcome to the affiliate marketing forum in the members area. Here is your affiliate link to give this away to other people. And you make, I think it's 50% commissions or 60% commissions if they decide to upsell or take the upsell for $67. And so that's right there. It's right in their face that as soon as they sign in, here's your affiliate link. And I learned a lot of these things from Mike Filsaine's Butterfly Marketing. And then also some just from my own experimentation as well. But that's not enough. It's not just enough to give them a link. Here's your affiliate link. Congratulations, hoorah. No, it's here's a bunch of tools. Okay? Because if you want people to do things for you, you need to make it easy to spread. Okay? If in order for a cold to be spread, people had to cough on their hand, turn around in the circle three times, walk up to the nearest friend, pat them on the back three times, shake their hand, and then give them a kiss, then what's the chance of that virus getting spread a lot? That's very complex. Okay? Or if it's only one method that it can get spread. It can only get spread if you cough at somebody from 10 meters away. That's the only way it gets spread. Any closer, and it doesn't quite make it any further away, and it dies before it gets to them. You know, you need to make it so it's easier than that. So what you do is you provide your affiliates all the tools. Now, this goes for affiliate marketing in any niche. But when we're talking about it, this will make it viral in the internet marketing niche. So you should be doing this no matter what niche you are in. It just won't necessarily be viral. So what you do is in your affiliates area, and you can tell us right on the homepage of the members area, it says, here's your link. Click here to get pre-built tools that you can just copy and paste and make money with. They click there, and you give them oodles of tools. I'm talking about pre-written emails. Not just one email, but emails. Like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, whatever. You're giving them banners that you've created. You're in all sorts of shapes and sizes so that no matter what kind of blog or website they're running, they'll be able to find one that'll fit on their website. You're going to give them articles that are private label rights. They're allowed to change wording so it becomes theirs uniquely as long as they promote your product with them. You're going to give them rebrandable ebooks. Remember we talked about that? We'll be covering that a little later. You're going to be giving them videos to copy and paste onto their blog or onto their website. You're going to give them blog reviews. You're going to give them stuff that they can put on their Squidoo pages. You're going to teach them about these things. You're going to say, hey, go and make a Squidoo lens at squidoo.com, and here's some stuff you can post there. And you're going to show them all these different things so that they are the ones. You're going to give them AdWords ads along with pre-built keyword lists. You're going to say, just copy and paste this keyword list and these AdWords ads. And then, you know, hopefully some of them will take those and then change them so that they can get even more traffic from them. You're going to give them all the different methods that I've talked about. AdWords. You're going to give them eBay listings. Say, here's a copy and paste this listing into eBay, and for $10 a month, you can promote this. You make one sale, and it's already paid for it three times over. You're doing all sorts of stuff, too. You're just making it so all they have to do is copy and paste, copy and paste. Copy and paste. You're going to make it as easy as possible. If in the future technology comes out where all they have to do is click a button and it automatically posts it somewhere, then do that. Whatever is required, make it as easy as possible for them to use your affiliate program and give them as high commissions as you possibly can so that there's incentive. And I did this with affiliatemarketingformula.com a couple of years ago. And to this day, we still get more signups. In fact, if I quickly check. Yeah, we get between 10 and 20 new opt-ins every day, and usually one or two sales every day. Okay, so, and the last time I touched this website was about a year ago, and it was doing much better back then, of course. Viral marketing, I'll tell you right now, it does die off eventually. However, for this site, it still has not yet died off. We're talking about a year later, and if we look at that, just an average of 15 new subscribers a day, that's an extra 5,000 people added to my list. And if we just make a sale a day, that's an extra $24,000 of sales per year for something that I started 2 years ago. and haven't really updated for a very long time. And the course is still good because it teaches the basic principles of affiliate marketing, so that's not going to, those principles aren't really going to change anytime soon. So people can still promote it. And so if your courses require updating to make sure that they're up to date, then you know, you should do that. But it's still growing on a daily basis. And when it was first going, it was growing by 50 to 100 new opt-ins per day. I quickly built that list. And all I had to do was work for about 2 or 3 months getting a few JV partners to promote it and do that initial injection of traffic. And then it started to perpetuate itself over and over again to the point where now it makes me, you know, $20,000, $25,000. That's how much it's probably made me over the past year, 25, maybe 30,000 over the past year, with me doing nothing. So that, and that's just a remnant of a viral marketing campaign. In its first year, when I really worked on it for 2 or 3 months to get that initial traffic and then kind of let it go, that first year I think it did, I'm trying to remember roughly how many sales, I think it did close to $100,000 in sales. Just the one site. I'd have to go back and check the records. I should have had that for this call. I apologize. But I think I did close to $100,000 of sales. I know the viral marketing campaign spread to a point, and I got one person to promote it, and they did $20,000 of sales by themselves. And so it's just incredible what this will go out to. And it'll spread and spread, and it'll hit just the right person, and all of a sudden, boom, it can spread really fast, and then it'll, you know, slow down a bit and spread and spread. Then it'll hit another good person that has a larger sphere of influence, and boom, it gets spread out. And it just continues on and on. After a while, it will die out. Just like most viruses, you only have so many people that you can infect, and then they become immune to it. And that's why, of course, we make new campaigns, new marketing campaigns, new products and everything. But like I said, after a year, it is still going and still bringing in revenue. And I'm sure if I worked on it, I could get it to do even more if I wasn't working on the projects that we're currently working on. So that's something that's going on. And that's something I've modeled a lot of my websites after. YourSqueezePage.com is the same way. Every once in a while, we come up with a new version just to do a new injection, and then it has its own affiliate program that people are automatically affiliated for when they sign up for YourSqueezePage.com, and it gives them all sorts of tools that they can use, and so it automatically perpetuates itself. I could probably do even better by providing even more tools. It's just a matter of how much work I want to put into this. But if you put the work necessary into your program, and you put a lot of tools in there, you will see it self-perpetuate quite well over a long period of time. We're not just talking about a month or two or a few months. We're talking about quite a long time that it will continue to bring in traffic. So that's if you're in the internet marketing niche. Now, all those things you should do anyway, no matter what niche you are in. But it won't necessarily have that viral component to it like it does in the internet marketing niche, because somebody buys a healthy book, they're not necessarily going to make a good affiliate. So you're still going to have to go out and find good affiliates. Something that you could do in non-internet marketing niches is have a two-tier affiliate program. And that could make it become viral. It won't be quite as effective. And the way that that works is you give affiliates a certain percentage just for their sales, but you also give them a percentage of sales of affiliates that they refer. So if it might be 40% on the first tier and 10% on the second tier. And what that means is if I'm an affiliate for a program, let's say it's a $100 product, I make a sale personally, I will make $40. That's 40%. If I refer John, and John makes a sale, he makes $40. But I also make $10 because it's 10% on the second tier. So what does that do? Well, that gets me motivated to go out and find other affiliates for this program, because if I find enough of them, I don't have to make any sales. All my affiliates will be making sales. It's one step short of a multi-level marketing program. Multi-level marketing is 3 tiers or more. But 2 tiers... it's quite ethical and quite good to do. And on top of that, you make a 2-tier affiliate program, and then you give your affiliates all sorts of tools to recruit new affiliates, and you tell them how if they, all they do is recruit more affiliates, but they don't have to make any sales, that those affiliates making sales will make them money. And you promote that. And so you create that same viral effect. It won't be to the same degree as if you're in the internet marketing niche, but it will still be effective. So that's something that you can consider a way to translate that over to whatever niche you happen to be in. Okay, so let's talk about other ways to make things viral. One of the things that is the most viral of anything I've seen on the internet, and this goes for whatever you are promoting, is entertainment. people love entertainment, and they love to tell their friends about it. This will definitely bring in a lot of word of mouth. And for obvious reasons, if it's entertaining, then people want to tell their friends about it. If you go to a good movie and it's entertaining, you tell all your friends about it, and it becomes very viral. Now, entertainment is not easy to do well, and you probably know that. Unless you're a really good actor or you're a comedian, it's not necessarily easy to do. Entertainment, in order for it to really be viral, needs to either be funny, or it needs to be very controversial, or it needs to be groundbreaking. Something that's so radically new that people are just, they just have to tell somebody else. And those things are not easy to do. It's not easy to be groundbreaking with whatever you're doing. Sure, you need to be unique, but it's not easy to be so unique that everybody just has to talk about you. That's very hard to do. That doesn't happen very often. Controversial, you might be able to do, but you might not like the idea. Funny might be hard. In fact, is hard. And where do you be entertained, by the way? You want to do this in videos and your audio and your articles or your websites, but how do you really do it effectively? And it's a hard thing to answer, but you have to look at what is viral. And I want to give you an example. Microsoft, and see, this is viral because I'm telling you about it right now. Microsoft, just recently, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, but they've come out with a home server. And what this is, it's an actual box that you buy and you install in your home, and it allows you to run a server at home, kind of like you do in office buildings, where people can do file sharing, and you can access your computer from away from home, and it has all the security there, and you're able to set sharing to certain things with all the computers. It's basically a glorified wireless router, which allows everybody to connect to it wirelessly or directly and be able to have a home network, now that it's becoming more common for a home to have not just one computer, but two or three or four computers. And what they've done is they've created this marketing campaign. It's called stayathomeserver.com. Stayathomeserver.com. And they've made it funny. What they've done is they have made it a controversial subject. Should servers really stay at home? Should servers be domesticated? Kind of like the whole controversy of the stay-at-home mom. Should a mom really have to be a stay-at-home mom, or should she go out to the office? Should she get a job just like the dad? It plays on that same level of controversy. So stayathomeserver.com. And what they've done is they've created fictitious characters, and there's these interviews, and there's this guy doing a talk show about it, and he goes into a family, and they talk about it as if, you know, they call it a stay-at-home server, and you know, some people are against it, saying, oh, no, the servers belong in the office. They shouldn't be domesticated. And it's actually rather entertaining. It's rather clever. And within all their entertainment, they talk about the benefits of that stay-at-home server. And I think it'll be a very good campaign, and because I've told a lot of people about it because I thought it was funny. So stayathomeserver.com is an example of taking something that's very boring, you know, home server, big deal, and making it funny. And all they did was just make some fictitious events and play to that. You can do the same thing with whatever product you happen to have. If you just use a bit of creativity, this is where that comes in, this takes a bit more work, and create something entertaining, whether you do it yourself, or whether you hire people to do it, or whether you know of maybe some friends or family who are naturally good actors or actresses and who are naturally funny. And yeah, I know that I can find people in my local area, youth that are interested in making videos. I could easily get them to do it either for free or for very low cost because they just love doing it, or, you know, give them something else in return, like buy them equipment or something like that. But whatever it is, it's up to you to use your creativity to figure out how you can do this exactly, but you just create some sort of entertainment within your niche. And this doesn't have to be very hard. If all you did was start doing videos of yourself and you just kind of were animated, that can sometimes help. But for it to be truly viral, it'll need to truly be entertaining. So this is probably one of the harder viral marketing things to do, is to make something entertaining. And then to take the videos, post them on YouTube and the other video marketing sites, do audios and post them everywhere, do articles and post them everywhere, make a really funny website. But if you do it right, it can be extremely successful, and it will spread itself around, and people will tell all their friends about it, and it'll spread, in this case, it'll spread by word of mouth, and it will just naturally go out and do very well. So that's a little more difficult. I'm going to leave that one there because it's pretty obvious that that works. However, it's hard for me to give you any specific steps to be entertaining. All you need to really do is think about what is out there already. And you can see, most people know what is entertaining, but I don't really have to teach you what is entertaining. And if you can figure out some way to incorporate that into your marketing, then that can become very effective. Now, let's talk about ways that are a bit more concrete. If you can come up with a way to be entertaining, that's going to be great. Most people are going to have a hard time with that. So let's continue on and talk about methods that don't require as much work and just little points and little tips that I'm going to give you in all sorts of different areas that allow you to use viral marketing to some extent. Now, some of these will be more effective and some of them will be just slightly effective, but they're all effective. And I've used them all the ones that I'm about to tell you. I have pretty much used all of these and found that they have been extremely effective for me, some more than others. So here we go. Here's a bunch of tips for you. First, in your videos, when you're submitting videos to YouTube or the other video sites, but particularly YouTube, and once you've submitted a bunch and you start to have a bit of a following, it doesn't take very long. It takes you probably a month to do that. Submit a video that simply asks people for video responses. Ask them a question, but specifically ask for video responses. And what a video response on YouTube is, as I explained in our last call, is that somebody creates a video and they post it as a reply to your video. So what happens is when people go and watch that other video, they see a link to your video because it says this video is a video response to, and then it says the name of your video. We found this to be very easy. At first, we thought we had to put a lot of work into it, so we created this contest. You know, who can create the best video, and we'll give you a $500 gift certificate to our online store. And we thought that we'd have to do that. And sure, that one's been very effective. We've had probably about 25, 30 video responses, and that one is getting thousands and thousands and thousands of views. However, we then later just posted a video saying, hey, we want to be able to post your videos on our blog, so post a video response to this one, and if it's good, we'll post it on our blog. And that was basically all it was. It was slightly comedic, just slightly. We're not that good at being comedians. We're just kind of goofing around on the camera. And lo and behold, we started getting all sorts of responses. Now all these people posting their videos as responses, and now that's getting more and more exposure, and that's bringing more traffic, and that traffic is bringing more sales. I can actually see that in our analytics. So it's something as simple as asking people to do it. What a strange concept, asking them to spread the word, saying, hey, post a reply. This works on your blog as well, although to not quite as a big as an extent because your blog probably doesn't get as much traffic as YouTube. But asking them for comments, asking people to do the things that you want them to do. If you're posting your blog and you're noticing nobody's commenting, try asking people to comment. It's so simple and yet it's effective. Some of my best blog posts, the ones that get the most comments, are ones where I ask people for their feedback. I ask people to comment. And those are the ones that get the highest number of comments, strangely enough. The videos that get the highest video responses are those that ask for video responses. You rarely see a video just get video responses on YouTube unless they are asked for or unless the video is incredibly popular. So there's one thing you can do. If you're posting on forums, we talked about a way to make a viral post. You know, post something that's controversial, post something that's fun, make a little fun word game. People love to waste their time on those. And that will spread as well. A lot of people will start posting more and more on that, and you'll get lots of traffic from it. Like I said, not all of these will bring you millions of visitors, but they can bring you a lot of visitors. Another thing, we talked about using your own products. We talked about resale rights and PLR products and rebrandable products. All of these are forms of viral marketing. If you give resale rights to your own products, for example, when you buy my ebook, I'll also give you resale rights, which means you can sell it at whatever price you want. Then that obviously gives it a bit of a self-perpetuation, especially if in your ebook you have links to your other websites. So people will start selling the book. Sure, they get the money, they make the list, but then there's links in those ebooks that they're selling that point back to your website. Now that obviously works well in the internet marketing niche, but it can also work in other niches as well. Or private label right products that follow along the same lines of resale rights. Rebrandable products or rebrandable PDFs where people can take the PDF and replace your affiliate links with theirs. But those affiliate links can point to your programs, and then some of them can point to other ones as well. So you will continue to get more traffic as people spread these around, knowing that they can make money doing it. So those are just a few ideas. Just try your best to get people to actually perpetuate your message. And if you can think of any ways that will actually get people to spread your message for you, you have just done a bit of viral marketing. And some of them, like I said, some will be wildly successful and bring you in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, possibly and potentially millions of visitors. And some of them will just bring in a little bit more than they normally do. So those are some of the things I want to talk about from methods we've already talked about. But I want to give you a couple of things, one that I'm really excited about, and I will actually be doing on a product that a piece of software that we're coming out with pretty soon. And it actually relates to both these things. But I want to give you a couple methods that will really help you to kick up your list building a notch and your sales of your products. Here's one method. Use a tell-a-friend script. This works in any market. The way that this works is quite simple. Normally, your opt-in process is two steps. You have a squeeze page. People fill out their name and email address, and that sends them to the verification page or the download page, whatever. Wherever it sends them, it sends them there next. Well, if you put in a third step in between those two, and after they fill out their name and email address, you say, hey, refer three friends, or just skip this step. And you give them the option to skip the step because otherwise it's really annoying. But you have to give them some sort of incentive. Why should they tell three of their friends? Unless this is some revolutionary product, they're not really going to care to, and they're just going to skip that step, or they're just going to back out altogether. You have to give them a really good reason. So give them a free gift. Say, hey, I was about to give you a free chapter of my new ebook. I'll give you two free chapters if you tell three friends about this free chapter. Or, hey, I was about to give you a video. I'll give you two more videos on top of that if you tell three of your friends. Okay. Or four of your friends or five of your friends. Three is usually a nice number. And so you put that in the opt-in process, and all of a sudden, so that you get this one person that comes in, and they refer three of their friends, and then those three friends get this email, and maybe one or two of them actually come to your squeeze page, and maybe one of them signs up, so you get another subscriber, and then that person can refer three friends. And so if you do a lot of split testing to get higher opt-in rates, it can really, really perpetuate. For example, if we look at some basic numbers, let's say you get 100 visitors, and normally your squeeze page gets a 30% opt-in rate. So out of those 100 visitors, you get 30 people that opted in. And then you have the refer a friend or tell a friend script right there that's next. Say, you know, refer three of your friends and we'll give you another video. Let's say that only one-third of the people that see that actually fill it out. Probably much higher. We're going to be doing some extensive testing because we're actually creating a tell a friend script that you'll be hearing about pretty soon. And it'll be free, too, that allow you to refer friends. Let's say that only one-third of them actually tell their friends. So the 30 people that just opted in, only 10 of them tell their friends. And so 10 of them tell three friends, so that sends out 30 more emails. Let's say just half of those come back, so we get 15 new visitors. So those 15 visitors see the squeeze page. And if we get the same opt-in rates, that means that five people will opt in, two of them will refer three of their friends, and out of those six people that are referred, three more will come. So then we have another three visitors that come, and one of those, if our rates are consistent, will opt in. So instead of getting 30 opt-ins from those 100 visitors, you end up getting 36. So the 100 visitors actually resulted in 18 new visitors. Does that sound like a huge increase? Well, it goes from, if you think about it in percentage-wise, instead of it being 30%, it gives you 36%. That's a big increase. That's an extra, 20%? That's 20% more opt-ins. So if you were getting 10 opt-ins a day, it would give you 12 opt-ins a day. If you're getting 100 opt-ins a day, it would get you 120 opt-ins a day. Okay, that's a significant increase. Now, what if you worked on it even harder and got your opt-in rate up even higher? Let's say you got your squeeze page opt-in rate up to 50%, and you got your refer-a-friend thing up to maybe 50% as well. Half of them actually refer their friends. Well, now we have 100 visitors that result in 50 opt-ins. And out of those 50 opt-ins, 25 tell their friends. And so 25 times 3 friends each, that's 75 friends. And out of those 75 friends, let's say it's just still half of them that come. Well, then 38 will come. 38 new visitors. Half of those will opt in. That gives us 19 new opt-ins. Half of those will tell their friends. So we got 9 people telling their friends, which is 27 more people being given an email. And out of those 27, we have 13 coming. Out of those 13, we have 7 people signing up. And so it goes from 50%, and if we actually continue, you see it perpetuates itself and eventually dies off with those same visitors. But it really, all of a sudden, that split testing that you do to increase your opt-in rate by a couple percent actually increases it by way more because they're also telling their friends. So So the extra visitors that you get in there, that means extra people that are told, which means even more visitors, which means even more people signing up. And if you can grow it at a rate where it's actually perpetuating more, if you send 100 visitors and it just continues to perpetuate, then you've got really good opt-in rates. That can be hard to do, but you're at least increasing through a viral factor how many opt-ins you get from the same number. So I send 100 people, and instead of it just resulting in 30 sign-ups, it results in 36. Or instead of it just resulting in 50 sign-ups, it results in 70. That's an incredible difference when you really think about it. So that's a tell-a-friend script. We'll be coming out with software for that pretty soon. I believe that it will be at yourtellafriend.com. Yourtellafriend.com. Right now you go there, it's going to be a blank page. You're going to see that it's a work in progress. Soon we'll have a squeeze page up for our pre-launch, and I believe it will be a free service. So yourtellafriend.com. Just for those listening to this call later on, you can go there and you probably see it already in place. So that's one thing that you can do. Just something as simple as that, a viral factor of when people come to your website, taking that existing traffic and having them produce even more traffic for you. And that really works. Contrary to what you might think, it actually works. It still takes a bit of tweaking and testing and optimizing, but it can work really well for you. Here's another method. This is one I'm really kind of excited about, and it actually has to do with the same idea. It's creating free services. Now, this requires a bit more investment of your time or a bit of money, but it can really, really have a return on the investment. For example, you create these free services that anybody can use and that self-perpetuate, kind of like the Hotmail and Gmail aspect. For example, you can do image hosting, but particularly for your niche. Let's say you do dog training. Well, why not create a website that is where people can host their pictures of their dogs? What's going to happen? Well, they're going to host the pictures of their dogs, but they want to show off those pictures. So they're going to go tell their friends, hey, go check out my pictures. Let's say your website is dog hosting pictures or dogpictureshosted.com. And so they say, hey, go to dogpictureshosted.com/my username, and you'll see all my pictures. Well, that person's most likely a dog lover. So they're going to that website. They're like, oh, cool, pictures of these dogs. And then there's a nice big link somewhere on it that says, click here to put your own pictures on here for free. So they click it, and then they open up their account. They host all their pictures, and they tell all their friends about it. And before you know it, you have all sorts of people using your free image hosting software. You've built up a sizable list of people within your niche. So that would be all dog lovers, which means they're interested in your dog ebooks, whether it's dog training or whether it's about dog food or whether it's about dog health, whatever it is. You've now built up a targeted list of prospects. That can be very effective. And there's software out there to create image hosting sites. In fact, there's even plugins for WordPress.org that allow you to turn your WordPress blog into an image hosting site. So it's just a lot of fun what you can do with that. Or not even just image hosting, you can do any kind of hosting, video hosting, audio hosting, any kind of free tools as well will work with this. If you have some sort of free tool, let's say you're doing weight loss, you can have a weight loss tracker, and it can be free. They just have to register for it. And then there's obviously going to be tools in there to tell their friends about it, to show their progress, or whatever else that they're trying to do. And then, of course, you always tag on, if there's things being sent out by email, it can say powered by, and then whatever it is that your website name is. And so you're getting more and more traffic, and you're building your list because of these free tools and this free software, these free services that you're creating. And the other one, of course, is going back to the Gmail example of exclusivity. You know, you create the free service, but you only give it to a certain number of beta testers, and then they only have a certain number of giveaways or invitations that they can use. And so it becomes very exclusive, and but they want to give away those invitations, and then people get those invitations and they sign up and they only have a certain number of invitations. Before you know it, that's completely grown out of proportion, and you have lots and lots of visitors and new signups and built your list tremendously and are now able to make a lot of money from that. These things are extremely powerful. They take a bit more work, but they're extremely powerful. I'll tell you that right now. And you're going to see that. I've used this in the past, but I haven't used it to its full extent. And this year we will be using it even more. And there is a huge power behind doing free services and free tools and free software that builds things tremendously and allows you to then make even more revenue. Because these free services, they can still have an upgrade. A free image hosting, you can say you can host up to 100 pictures. If you want to host more, it costs you $10 a month. or $50 a year, whatever you charge for it, and then you can host 1,000 pitchers. Or your platinum level is unlimited, and that's $100 a year instead of $50. So you don't have to just leave them free. It's just that there is a free component to them that gets spread around, and that gets more signups and more people using it. So these are just some of the ideas for viral marketing. Hopefully you can kind of you can see the idea behind it, and this is giving you some ideas of what you can do in your own niche. And hopefully it gets you excited too, because if you go out and do this, you can really quickly build your list and you can really quickly make money. It just requires a bit more creativity, which is why you will be able to do it and most other people won't. Because most people won't put in the creativity. They're just going to copy and paste and do exactly the same as everybody else and have no viralness whatsoever and have to do all of the work themselves to get their own traffic, which is the worst thing you can do because you're going to burn yourself out and you're going to eventually run out of ways to get yourself more traffic or money in order to get that traffic. So viral marketing is definitely something that will help you out a lot in that aspect. So I'll take any questions at this point, if there are any. So if you have any questions, just go ahead and put them into the webcast form right now if you're listening to this call. And I'll just go for as long as there are questions, and if there are no questions, then we'll just finish. And of course, we'll have our last Q&A call this Thursday, and then we will be done the BBO traffic series. And hopefully you've enjoyed all the different traffic methods that I have been teaching over the past, I guess this will be the 10th call, when you include the introductory call as well, plus all the Q&A calls that we have been doing. If you have any questions, go ahead and input it now. I'll wait around for about 30 seconds to see if anything comes in, and then we will finish. Okay, I don't see any questions coming in. I'm going to wrap it up here. I hope you've enjoyed the BBO Traffic Series. It's been a pleasure teaching it. I've put out a lot of content here, so we will be having another Q&A call, and I want you to go over and look over the content that we've already done and come up with whatever questions you have, and then we can cover all of those in our Q&A call this Thursday. I wish everybody the best of luck with your traffic endeavors, and have a great week.
The moderator has disconnected.